So great to be with you. Are you excited this morning? I'm excited and caffeinated, so that's good. Anyone ever taken a leap of faith? I have this message that God's put in my heart, and I've been wrestling like, God, is this for me or is this for us? Because this is my life in a message, so to speak. But I think that God has something for us today. Anyone ever gone cliff jumping? No. That was like quick and emphatic right there. No. I've taken some leaps of faith, both reality and figuratively speaking, but this summer I went cliff jumping with my kids, and I've gone a few times as a youth, as a young adult, but this year was different than any other year because my kids are old enough to go with me, and so I was kind of excited to do it with them. Now, here's something that you need to know about me. I am not an adrenaline junkie. Okay, I'm not a risk taker by nature. I'm not reckless. I would take calculated risks, you know? It's like I have an aversion to dying prematurely. Anyone else share that aversion? And so I'm not really a risk taker. And when you come to these things, you have to consider carefully what you're getting into. You know, they phrase it differently. You got to know, consider the consequences, right? That's the saying. Or they say you got to count the cost. You know, you have to do the math. You have to know what you're getting into. You have to calculate the risk that's involved. You got to look before you leap. And so as we were out on the boat this summer with some friends at their cottage, and they said, let's go cliff jumping. And as we approached the cliff, I was just reassured to look up and say, well, you know what? It's not that high. And it looks like it'll be a lot of fun and get to do with my kids. And so we jumped out of the boat and we swam over to the cliff face and we began to climb up the little path to the cliff. And the people that were hosting us, they said, oh, we've been here many times. We do this every summer. And I thought this would be great. It looks easy peasy. That's Chad's favorite word on the board. Easy peasy. He says that all the time. And as I got up there, I was excited to do this until I looked down. Now, from the lake looking up, it didn't look very high at all, but from the top looking down and looking at what I was getting into, how many know that all the courage drained away from me? All the confidence drained away from me? Like, I'd climbed up there, like, come on, kids, I'll show you how to do it. And I climbed up there, and then all of a sudden, I like stepped back from the edge, and I was like, okay, you guys should go first. And they did. They went multiple times while I stood there trying to like work up the courage. And as I looked down, I just couldn't bring myself to do it. You know, my family, they were all down there. They started, okay, Dad, we'll count you down. You know, 3, 2, 1. How many know that didn't help me? Not one bit, you know? And then all of a sudden the chant started. Walk of shame. Walk of shame. And I'm like, well, what is the walk of shame? They're like, well, when you climb back down the path that you took to get there. Abraham says, wow, like you want to bless me. You want to bless through me. You want to bless my children and my children's children. Bring it on, God. But then the Lord says, there's a couple of things we got to take care of. He said, I want you to leave your country, your relatives, and your father's family. You know, I'm sure Abraham was intrigued at the idea of being blessed by God and being used by God and starting something new, but there was a cost to leaving everything behind that he knew. His family in this societal context would have represented his support system. They were his security. Even this week as we said goodbye to our parents, we knew that we were coming out here not knowing anyone. And so he was leaving them behind. You don't need to be a Christian very long to know that God's call often results in leaving your comfort zone. How many have experienced that to be true? God's call results in leaving the areas of comfort. You know, when was the last time you found yourself in an unknown place, an unfamiliar place? If you've ever moved, you know that it feels weird and awkward at the same time. Like, I went to the grocery store and I'm like, where's the bags of milk? I don't know why Ontario has bags of milk. It's weird. I don't know, but it was weird. See, I've discovered that when God wants to do something fresh, he'll often call us out of the places of our comfort. because in those moments it helps us see with greater clarity. Helps us see with greater clarity what we've been relying on and what we've counted on for security and for comfort. See, God was leading Abraham away from his family because in that context, in this society, as long as he was with his father would be the patriarch, and that everyone else would see Abraham in a certain role, in a certain light. How many of you have grown up in the same church or in the same neighborhood your whole life? Everyone just still sees you as little Johnny or little Nate, right? They just see you in the same light. They're calling Abraham out of that. See, when we're in our comfortable surroundings, we tend to hold on to what we know and what's proven and what's familiar. We can get into a rut, can't we? And we find this in Joshua 24, verse 2, one of the main reasons that God was calling Abraham out from amongst his family. It says this, it says, long ago our ancestors, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, he lived beyond the Euphrates River and they worshipped other gods. But I know your ancestor Abraham from the land and beyond the Euphrates and led him to the land of Canaan. So God is calling Abraham out of what he knew, out of what was comfortable, out of what was familiar, and calling him into this place to see with more clarity what God wanted him to do. He wanted to put him in a position to rely on him more. How many know when you're out of your comfort zone, you're seeing with more clarity, but you're relying more faithfully? We're relying more faithfully in God and responding to him more readily. How many want to live a life where faith is required? You know, we often pray that God would bless us and put his safety upon us. We pray for hedges of protection. I've never seen a hedge of protection. You know, if I was putting up something around me, I'd want more like a gate or a fence or a moat, but not a hedge. But we pray for hedges of protection. We want our lives to be safe and secure, but I want to encourage you today that the real joy and the real passion is being out on the edge of where God's leading you. Because when you're out on that edge, you're listening, you're relying, you're trusting on him more. I want to live a life that requires faith daily. Okay, we'll get there. We'll get there together, I know. So God moves Abraham away from life as usual, and he says to him those words, go to the land that I will show you. How many know stepping out of faith means often taking the first step without knowing the destination? As we are here today, you don't know this, but a year ago, Holly and I took a faith step. A year ago, we felt God prompting us that we should reach out and call Pastor Ken Russell of the BC District. We didn't know Ken. We'd heard of him, we didn't know him, but we felt some stirring in our hearts as we prayed about what God had for our future, that we should take a first step and have this conversation, introduce ourselves to Ken, and just say, can we discover together what God might be doing in our lives? We took a first step without knowing the destination. How are you glad the destination arrived here today? I'm glad to be here today. But living with faith often means stepping out. Well, let's keep reading Genesis 12, verse 4. It says, so Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. How many know you're never too old to follow the promptings of God? You've never done your time. If I catch you at this church saying, I've done my time, I could say that boldness. It's my first day, but if you've done your time, that's a sad place to be in. I never want to be done my time. I want to be serving God and following his promptings till my last day. Amen? So he took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, and they went with all their wealth and their livestock and all the people he had taken into his household, and he headed to the land of Canaan. And when they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. And there he set up camp beyond the oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by the Canaanites. You know, as I read this text, it says Abram departed as God had instructed. Hebrews 11 also tells a story in the Hall of Fame of Faith. And as you look at what was written about Abraham's life centuries later, it says this, that it was by faith Abraham obeyed God when he called, and he went without knowing where he was going. That was what was written down as admirable about him centuries later. You know, sometimes we read the Bible so casually, don't we? We read stories like this and we fail to see the humanity of it. We just give it a quick glimpse and it says, so Abraham departed. How many know when you're writing something, especially in this historical context, that you're not getting all the nuance? Imagine the conversations that Abraham had with those around him in this moment. Honey, we're moving. But I don't know where. Just park the car, we're going, right? Imagine that. You know, Dad, I don't have a good reason for this other than simply God said that I should. Mom, you can always come visit the grandkids if you can find us, because I don't know where we're going. Imagine the conversation Abraham had with God. God, where are we going? I'll tell you, you know. I'll tell you when you get there. Well, how will I know? He said, well, I'll tell you. Can you tell me now? No. You know, are we there yet? No. Are we there yet? No. Are we there yet? Just imagine the humanity of Abraham's life, and yet we boil it down into this phrase that simply says, so Abraham departed. You know, I don't know what conversations were playing in Abraham's mind. I don't know what feedback he was getting from the people closest to him. You know, maybe have you ever talked to someone that sounds interesting, you're right? Not too encouraging, you know? Or maybe they get the old, let me know how that works out for you, you know? Have a nice life, Abraham. Maybe you got people telling him that was a little reckless. Maybe they're telling him that you need to be a little bit more realistic, Abraham. How do you know that you can be reckless and out of God's will, but you can also appear to be reckless and be in God's will? Not the same way, you can be realistic and be in God's will, and you can also appear to be realistic and be out of God's will. What am I talking about? You know, the Bible says we are to be wise in how we live. Ephesians 5 says, be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but those who are wise. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what God wants you to do. See, the balance between living recklessly and realistically is an always asking, how is God leading me? How is he leading me? Proverbs 2 says, for the Lord grants wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Romans 8:14 is clear that all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. To be led means you are in motion. To be led means that you are following. Jesus says in John 16 of his Holy Spirit's role to lead us on his behalf. He says the Spirit of truth will come and he will guide you in all truth. He will speak not of his own, but will tell you what he has heard. And he will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. To find the balance between living recklessly and living realistically, ask, how is God leading me? Because you can be reckless and be out of God's will. And you can appear reckless and be in God's will, just the same way as you can be realistic and be in God's will. And you can appear to be realistic and be out of God's will. Let me illustrate it for you like this. Have you ever pulled up to someone at the stoplight and they've got their windows up and you're just looking over at them, kind of giving them the nod, and you notice that they are totally into the music in their car? You know, I can imagine pulling up to Pastor Brett. You know, he's probably got the hands, you know, banging on the steering wheel. He's probably got the head bopping. You know, all of a sudden the chorus kicks in and the arms start going. Have you ever pulled up beside that person at the stoplight? You know, maybe you got some hip-hop going. I don't know what it is. And they just look foolish, don't they? Because you can't hear what they're hearing. How many know if you could hear what they were hearing, it would make a lot more sense to you what they were doing? And it's the same way with God. That when you hear God's call and you're responding, it can appear reckless, but you're in God's will. And so Abraham finds him in this place. Abraham is clear on what God's calling him to do, and so he takes this leap of faith, and he acts on God's promises, even though there's nothing to indicate that they would be fulfilled. Genesis 12:7 says, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And so Abraham built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. And after that, Abram traveled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel. Bethel in the hill country. It's perfect. To the west and to the east, and there he built another altar and he dedicated it to the Lord and he worshiped the Lord. And then Abram continued traveling south by stages toward the Negev. Everywhere he stopped, Abraham took a moment. And the scripture says there he built another altar. He dedicated it to the Lord and he worshiped there. You know, there's a lot to be said about the practice of building altars in the Old Testament context. But even in this age that we live in, it looks different for us. But we need to build these altars. We need to have these moments that refocus our attention on the Lord. We have to have these places that we go back to, markers along the journey that remind us where God has brought us from. Because when we look back and we see God's faithfulness, we know that we have trust to move forward. And these markers and these milestones weren't just for him in the moment, but the Bible says that they were actually reminders for future generations that others have taken this path. The Bible says that they would look back and say, what is this milestone? What is this marker about? And you'd be able to tell your children and your children's children about God's faithfulness. You know, we see in Genesis 13, just the next chapter, that Abraham seems to lose his way. And so what does he do? But he goes back to one of those altars. He goes back to the last place that he had encountered God. And he gets refocused and gets a fresh start. You know what's really striking about this passage to me, and it's really encouraging? It's this phrase that God led him by stages. It's repeated in chapter 13. It says that they continued traveling by stages. How many know that God usually leads us only a few steps at a time? How many are glad that God doesn't give you the big picture for your life? You know, how many have ever had that moment where you stopped and thought, I never would have seen myself where I am today? How many know that if God had given you the big picture for your life, you would have been too scared to follow him, right? How many know that it might not have been that you didn't trust him, but that you didn't trust yourself back then? You're like, there's no way I could step into what God has called me to do. Inversely, though, some of us have more courage than others, and we would have run ahead and tried to make things happen on our own. And if you've ever done that, you know it doesn't always work out great for you. So God leads us in stages to keep us from being overwhelmed by the size of his vision and plan. He leads us in stages to keep us listening and keep us trusting in him. It's for our benefit that we stay close to Jesus. See, God's as interested in the journey as he is in the destination. You know, my pastor and mentor used to always say, the purpose is the process. You know, it's not the end destination, it's the process, the journey of getting there that forms you and shapes you and teaches you how to rely and trust in Jesus. And so God doesn't take Abraham, he doesn't say, go on your own and stumble into what I've called you to do. He says, let me lead you in stages. To be in God's will, all you need to do is follow God each day and be faithful in each moment. Follow God each day and be obedient in every stage. If you were to leave this morning, my prayer, my altar call, my challenge to you is just be faithful what God has given you today. And then you wake up and you do it tomorrow. And then you wake up and you do it again the day after that. And what you come to realize is that you have had a lifetime of obedient following of Jesus' plan for your life. How did I get here? I got here one day at a time, following in obedience God's leading. As I said, the story is repeated in Hebrews 11, and it says it was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when he called him to leave home and go to another land that God would give him as his inheritance. He went without knowing where he was going. God called, and God promised. Church, we exist because God called and God promised. Bethel. We exist here in Penticton because God has called us and God has promised us some faithfulness and some fruit. And so as I look at this season ahead of us, all I can promise you is a couple of things. One is that I'll disappoint you at some point. I know everyone's been so great. You are so great. We're so glad to have you. At some point, I'm going to disappoint you. I hate to tell you that, but it's inevitable. But beyond that, I know that God has called us and that God has promised us a future, that he will be with us, that he will build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. That God has gone before us, and that our future is secure, that our eternity is secure, that our friends and our family have hope because of what Jesus has called us to and what he has promised us. And so while Abraham couldn't see how things would all end up, he leapt without knowing where he was going. And in the process, he discovered that God was faithful to keep his promises. But there's one last thing that I want us to see today in this passage. You know, as I was thinking about today and the new season of my ministry, the new season of our ministry together that God has brought together, in Hebrews 11, verse 9, it says, "And even when he reached the land God promised him, he lived there by faith." How many know that he never settled in? He never got so comfortable. He never forgot his calling. He lived there by faith. For he was like a foreigner living in tents. Isn't it amazing that the scripture describes us as foreigners on this earth, that we are living here temporarily. We're not citizens of this earth, but we are citizens of heaven. What can we learn from Abraham? That we should be living here by faith, never settling, never getting so comfortable, never forgetting our calling, because it's important to what God has before us. Because listen to what follows. And it says, "And so did Isaac and Jacob, who inherited the same promise." Because Abraham took a leap of faith, it opened the doors for others to receive God's promises. Church, we are coming up on 100 years old in just a couple of years as a church. How do we know that today we are living the legacy of others who have invested and given themselves and taken faith steps to start and become part of Bethel Church? You know, some of you were part of that from your infancy. Some of you have joined that, our family, just recently. But we are building on the faithfulness and the legacy of others. And our leaps of faith will open the doors for others to experience God's promises. How many want that to be true? How many want that to be true for your children? How many want your faith steps to open the door for your children to experience God's promises? Oh, you're going to have to be more excited than that. How many want to open the door for your grandchildren to experience God's promises, right? We often think that the legacy goes this way. How many want to open the door for your parents to experience God's promises? How many want God to open the door for your grandparents to experience God's promises? God has a plan and a purpose for this church, for the people of Penticton in this beautiful Okanagan region. And it's more than just sunny vacations and boating and hiking. He has life transformation. He has life change. He has an eternity awaiting those people in our lives that we love so dearly, our coworkers, our neighbors, and friends. And the leaps of faith that we'll take as we follow God's leading, as we follow his prompting, it might look reckless at some times, but we'll know what God's speaking to us. We will also be calculated. We'll also be pursuing wisdom. But we know that our leaps of faith will open the doors for other people to inherit God's promise today. Would you stand with me, church, this morning? And I just want to take a moment to pray. Hallelujah, Jesus. Maybe you're here today and you're new to Bethel, and I just want to say welcome. Me too. Maybe you're here and you haven't been here for a little while and you've been waiting to see how things are going to settle out and kind of waiting for some transition to happen. We're so glad that you're here. Maybe you've been faithfully part of Bethel for many years. And, you know, I just am just honored by the legacy. I can see the health and the vibrancy of the leadership that's gone before us, of the people who have given so much for us. We just want to build on that. I just want to continue to follow God faithfully. But even for our own lives, you know, I said I believe that this is a message for our church, but in parallel, my own life has been living out this story. And it's not every day that God uproots us and moves us across the country, as 14 years at my last church. There's a reason why I don't do it very often. It's a lot. But I believe in small ways and in big ways that God wants each of us to be responsive and looking for his leading in our lives. What is God leading you to do? It might not be moving across the country at this point, but it might be a small step of walking across your street to your neighbor. It might be taking a moment to the cubicle next door to yours. Whatever it is God is calling you, how will you respond? And how will your leap of faith open the door for someone else to receive God's promise? Heavenly Father, I just thank you for my friends today. God, I just thank you as you are uniting our hearts and our spirits together. Lord, as we are uniting our ministry, our lives, God, I pray today that your Holy Spirit would just be saturating it all. God, we just thank you for the legacy before us. Lord God, we just thank you for this opportunity to be a part of something bigger than ourselves. God, as we look at our world and we realize that the church of God spreads, the kingdom of God spreads in so many places and so many corners and nooks and crannies, Lord, that we find you in so many places. We are truly part of something so much bigger than ourselves. And so I pray we'd be reminded of that today. Lord Jesus, for those that are here this morning and they are looking for encouragement and passion to be restored and renewed in their lives, I pray, Lord, as you lead and you speak, Lord, that we would respond to you with open hearts and willing hands, Lord God. Lord, if we have been ignorant of you for a period of time, God, if we've been ignoring the calling or putting it to the side, I pray, Jesus, that you would awaken us afresh. Stir in us afresh a passion for your presence and an awareness of what you're saying to us. Holy Spirit, unless we hear from you today, this would be an encouraging message, a motivating message. But I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and do what only you can do, that you would put your fingerprint on our heart, and that you would show us how we can respond to you today. Maybe you're here, church. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Jeremy, I'm not giving my life to Jesus. I haven't been following him. I wouldn't want you to come today without having the opportunity to respond to that prick. Maybe you, even in this moment, your heart's racing. You just feel that God is stirring something in you. And you know as he's calling you to surrender your life to his lordship, to following him. Maybe this morning, would you just, every eye closed and every head bowed. If you're here and you say, Pastor Jeremy, I need to follow Jesus. I need to start a relationship with him, or I need to renew a relationship that I've let go by the wayside. I would love to pray for you this morning. Would you just raise your hand real quick, just so I can see it and pray with you this morning? Yes, thank you. Amen. Anyone else on the right side over here? Praise God. It's always a great day to make that decision. Jesus, I pray for those that raise their hands this morning. Lord, I just thank you, God, that no matter what age we are, it's always a great time to begin our relationship with you. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would all be in step with what you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. Well, you know what? It's been a great morning. I'm excited to celebrate with you. I want you to know we have some cake in the lobby. It's not for me, it's for Pastor Brett and Pastor Ralph. We want to farewell them today. You want to grab some of that. As you go this morning, we'll be up here. We'll have some people here for prayer, if we could pray with you. But as you go, God bless you, and have a great week. We'll see you next week.